Well, amen. Thank you. Well, it's time for our preacher night. This is still a little loud. Our preacher tonight is Pastor Michael Taylor from New Life Baptist Church. Now, I got to tell you this. Some years ago, before Pastor Taylor was there, I got a phone call in the middle of the winter. And the preacher on the other side said, "Pastor Alquist." I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I'd like you to come preach at a revival meeting for me." I said, "Well, that'd be great. Where you at?" He said, "St. Petersburg." "Melva, I got a meeting in St. Petersburg. It's in the middle of the winter. He wants me to come down in the wintertime to St. Petersburg." I'm thinking St. Petersburg, Florida. I'm thinking, you know, I got to take my, you know, my pineapple shirt and everything. And I said, "Yeah, brother, I'd be glad to come down to St. Petersburg and preach for you." He said, "Okay, now you know that's St. Petersburg, Pennsylvania, don't you?" And so that's where he is pastoring. So we're going to have him come right now. He's going to preach to us from the Word of God.
Preach! Thank you. Well, I do appreciate this opportunity to be here in front of you all. And for all you guys who are scared to preach, let me encourage you, do it anyways. Amen. You're looking at probably one of the most backward kids in high school. And that's actually how God called me to preach. It wasn't in front of a bunch of, there were some teens there, but my high school years, I went to a Christian school, and every Wednesday we had a chapel. Well, the principal would always do the chapel. I was in 10th grade, and being as quiet and reserved as I was, the principal out of nowhere comes up and says, "Hey, do you want to preach a chapel message?" He's not talking a five-minute message. He's talking 20, 30 minutes. Scared me out of my socks. But something inside me just did, and he gave me two dates. One 2 weeks away, or one about 4 weeks away. I really wanted to do 4 weeks away, give me as much time as I wanted, but it's just something God was like saying, 2 weeks. Do the one 2 weeks. So I did it in 2 weeks. Get it done and over with. And you know, I can be relieved. I was scared to death. But I can tell you that afterwards, it's probably one of the worst messages I've ever preached. I don't even remember it. But it was afterwards that there was such a joy in my heart that I could not see myself doing anything else but preaching. Now, mind you, in high school, I wanted to go in the Air Force. That's what I wanted to do. But after that first message, as bad as it probably was, and probably as undoctrinally sound as it can from a high school kid who's never really done a message before, God called me to preach. And so I'm here today because of that. Yes, it is scary. I'm not going to lie. You will be nervous. You'll be scared out of your wits, but do it anyways. Amen. You might think, "Well, I'm not going to like it." Well, if you don't like it, that's fine. But that God just may use that to call you. You may not even understand it like me, one of the most backwards kids you'd meet in a high school. Most quiet, most reserved. God says, "I want you to preach." And so I pursued that, and here I am. So just be an encouragement to you guys, you're too scared to do it. You may want to do it, but you're too scared to do it anyways. As God constantly told Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Amen. Why did Joshua, well, I know this is off the message, but why did God have to tell Joshua that? Joshua was scared to death. Everything he did, he was scared to death. Every time God talked to Joshua, he said, be of good courage every single time. Joshua was scared to death. But he did it anyways. So let's go ahead and turn to Judges chapter 2. This is where I'm going to be spending most of the night. And it does have to do with your theme, going for the gold. And you know, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. But when you read the verse before that, verse 7, he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. In Judges chapter 2, I'm going to just read verses 4 through 7. Judges chapter 2, beginning in verse 4, it says, "And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they came, and they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity and this the privilege of being able to have your word preached so openly this evening. And Father, we ask that our hearts will be opened as your word is opened. Father, speak to each and every one of our hearts tonight. Lord, give us a word of encouragement, a word of strength. Lord, speak to us as we need you to speak to us. Lord, that you may be glorified through the preaching of your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the situation going on here is that Israel had become strong, but they did not utterly remove the inhabitants of the land as God told them to do. Back in chapter 1, verse 28, that is like the key verse that really sets the tone for the rest of the book. It says, "And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out." And because of that, God comes to them in chapter 2, verse 1. He sends a messenger, an angel from Gilgal, to the children of Israel as they were gathered together with Joshua. And he tells them, "Look, I made you to go up out of Egypt. I have brought you out of the land. I brought you to the land that I swear to your forefathers. And I have sworn unto you, I will not break my covenant with you." And that's important to understand. He says, "I will not break my covenant with you." And he says, he refers part of the covenant was that ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why? Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, and here comes the second part of the covenant, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. So God's part of the covenant was that Israel was supposed to drive out the inhabitants of the land, completely get rid of them, remove any and all Canaanites from the land. But the second part, God promised, if you don't, this is what's going to happen. Remember what he said, I will not break my covenant with you. He says, the punishment is part of the covenant. And don't think I am not going to uphold that part of the covenant. And this is when the children of Israel, they lifted up their voices, they wept, they sacrificed, but they served. They wept, they sacrificed, and they served. And so as a consequence of their decision to ignore God's command to utterly drive out the inhabitants of the land, God was going to allow the people of the land to become a thorn in the flesh of Israel. They're going to be a source of constant frustration, a source of constant trouble, a source of constant problems. God was not going to protect Israel from the consequences of their decision. They chose. God says, I will drive them out. But remember verse 28 in chapter 1, when Israel became strong. There was a time when Israel was too weak and they could not do it. But this is when Israel was strong, when they had the ability to. They chose not to. It was blatant disobedience. And so God says, I'm going to punish you. Here's the consequence for it. And Israel's reaction to the consequence was sorrow and tears. They lifted up their voice and they wept before the Lord that day. They sacrificed, and again, they served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. And the interesting thing is Joshua lived, assuming Joshua was the same age as Caleb, Joshua lived 25 years after the wars of Canaan. So all the days of Joshua, 25 more years, the children of Israel served the Lord. But then you got the elders that outlived Joshua. And so the oldest elder, when they would have entered the land, the oldest elder outside of Joshua and Caleb would have been 59 years old. At the end of the wars, they would have been about 64 years old. Now, when Joshua died, say another 25 years, they would have been 89. Now, suppose the elders lived the length of Joshua, about 110. You're looking at another 20 years. So for about 40 years, Israel served God. Because when God confronted them with their sin, they wept, they sacrificed, but they continued to serve. They didn't allow that one bad decision to disobey God to ruin their lives. They continued to serve the Lord. When God convicted their hearts of sin, yes, they wept over it. They got their hearts right. They sacrificed, but they continued to serve. Israel did not allow their mistake to choose to leave the Canaanites in the land, and they did not allow the consequences of that decision to stop them. And so many people allow the consequences of their poor choices to stop them from serving God. They'll weep over their sin. They'll get their heart ripe, and they think, God can never use me again. And they stop short of serving. You're not going to be a perfect person. Nobody is. Ask my wife. We've been married 11 years. This was my wedding tuxedo. I'm surprised I can still fit into it. But nobody's perfect. We're all going to make bad decisions. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to make poor choices. But when you do, and God confronts you, he convicts your heart about it, weep over it, get your heart right, sacrifice, but continue to serve. Amen. Continue to serve. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Paul said again that there was laid up a crown of righteousness for him that the Lord would give to him in that day, in the day of judgment. And the only reason why that Paul was persuaded of this fact was because he fought a good fight, he finished his course, he kept the faith. Paul was by no means a perfect man. When you look at Paul's history by his own mouth, he was a man of flaws. He made poor decisions, but he was a man who would get back up. You think about what he did before he came to Christ. He laid the church waste. He killed Christians. He hauled them off to prison. He had letters to Damascus to haul them back to Jerusalem so they can be tried. Paul had a lot of regrets in his life. Even after being saved, when he became Paul, remember the fight between Paul and Barnabas? The contention was so sharp that they parted asunder. Paul and Barnabas left on no good terms. And we're looking at Paul the Apostle. We're looking at Barnabas, two men who got into a heated argument over John Mark. So heated that they left on bad terms. But God continued to serve them because they continued to serve. They didn't allow, no doubt, when Paul looks back and I believe he tells Timothy, bring John Mark. The same man that caused that division so long ago. Paul says, I was wrong. Barnabas was right. You know, a just man falls seven times, but the wicked fall into mischief. Both of them fall. But a just man rises up. A just man rises up. And this is the difference between Peter and Judas. Peter, yes, he denied Christ. Well, so did Judas. He sold them out for 30 pieces of silver. Well, guess what? Peter sold out Jesus for his own life. But Peter got back up. You got David and Saul. David was by no means no perfect man. Saul fell into mischief, but David got back up. When David was confronted with his sin with Bathsheba, with Uriah, God told him, your child's going to die, and the sword, the violence, is never going to leave your family. Violence is going to plague you for the rest of your life. Well, for the child, when the child was struck sick with a disease, David fasted, he prayed, he wept before God for 7 days. On the seventh day, the child dies, and David's servants, I picture them just standing off in the corner at the entrance of the room, and they're all whispering to each other. It's like, you tell him. No, you tell him. And David sees him whispering, and he perceives that the child was dead, and he bluntly asks, is the child dead? Then somebody had to speak up and says, yes, the child is dead. You know what David did? He got up, he bathed himself, he dressed himself, then he went to the temple and he worshipped. David made, and if you think about it, it was an inexcusable and unforgivable decision. But he repented of it, got his heart right, and he continued to serve. We have scripture written by David after that. When God brings conviction into your life, weep, sacrifice, and serve. You want to go for the gold, get back up. Get back up. You are going to fall seven times. In other words, you're always going to be falling. You're always going to be falling. Well, get back up. Finish the course. That's what Paul said. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Because whenever Paul would make a mistake, whenever he would sin, when he would make a poor decision, a poor choice, he got back up and he continued to serve the Lord. So many people allow their mistakes to be their ruin. They allow God's chastening hand to be their destruction. God doesn't punish us to destroy us. He chastens us to bring us to a place of repentance. So where we will get back up and continue to serve him. You cannot focus on your past mistakes, your past poor choices. You have to focus on the Lord. Jesus says that no man puts his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. You can't be looking back to your mistakes. Yes, they're there. You can't go back and undo it. You'll always remember it. No doubt, Paul never forgot the stoning of Stephen. He never forgot Stephen crying out. Every rock that slammed into his body. He never forgot Stephen praying for him. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He never forgot. When Paul came to Christ, no doubt he wished he could go back and undo everything he did, but he couldn't. But what Paul said he did, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He says forgetting those things are behind. It includes his past mistakes. His poor choices before he came to Christ, even after he came to Christ. He says, forgetting all those things, I reach forward to the prize of the high calling of God. Paul was going for the gold. Again, Paul had a reputation of persecuting the church beyond measure. He was more zealous of the traditions of his fathers. And he caused great persecution and hatred of Christians. But had Paul clung to these mistakes in his life, he would have been weighed down with grief, with sorrow, with regret, with shame, to the point where he would have been rendered useless for the Lord. He could not go back and undo what he had done, but he got his heart right with God and he served God. Don't let your punishments overcome you or the lack of people's forgiveness to hinder you. You know, in 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, dealing with a situation that he already dealt with in his first letter to the Corinthians about the immorality a man was living in. He was living in sin. And he's encouraging the Corinthians, this man has repented. Forgive him. Lest he be overcome with much sorrow. The man was repentant. But we can allow ourselves to be overcome with overmuch sorrow that we hold on to the regret of that decision, the regret of that action, of that of whatever it may be, that sin, that we hold on to the regrets for so long. Yes, we weep over it. We get our heart right, but because we're still holding on to it, we think we can't serve God. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind. The things that you wish you could go back and undo. The decisions that you wish you could go back and unmake. They're a part of you. They're part of who you are even today. And when we allow ourselves to be swallowed up by the consequences, the punishment of our decisions, of our actions, we quit serving God, thinking, God can never use me again. You don't know how bad it was. You don't know how unforgivable it was. Probably not as unforgivable of David's affair and murder of Uriah. If you really stop and think about that, one of David's top 30 men was Uriah. And he had Uriah murdered to cover up his sin, his affair. And then he married Uriah to make it look like the baby was legitimate. He took advantage of as a king, he took advantage of one of his mighty men, the wife of one of his mighty men. If you want to talk about an unforgivable, in a sense, from a human standpoint, that's it. But because David repented, he got his heart right, he continued to serve God. David continued to be a man after God's own heart. If you want to go for the gold, yes, you will fall. You will make mistakes. You will make bad decisions. Weep, sacrifice, and serve. Weep, sacrifice, and serve. People's lack of forgiveness drives our guilt even deeper. A lot of times we depend on other people's forgiveness to move us past that decision, that mistake. If so-and-so doesn't forgive me, how could I forgive myself? Or if a sinner, so-and-so being a sinner as I am, won't forgive me, why would a holy and just God forgive me? And so we render ourselves useless for God and we quit. We don't finish our course. We don't fight a good fight. We give up on the faith. And as that sorrow intensifies, faith is diminished. And as faith is diminished, so hope vanishes from view and despair settles in. As despair settles in, we walk off the course. Paul was reaching, he was going for the gold. But he finished his course. He kept the faith. And that's what Israel's doing here. Yes, you think about the implications of their decision. The consequences of their decision will last generations. It's lasting even today for them disobeying God all the way back then. Israel's suffering today because of it. But as long as they wept, as long as they sacrificed and then they served, God was with them. God continued to be with them. You're never going to be perfect. Don't think you're ever going to be perfect. You won't. Amen. God's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for people who are willing to have a broken spirit, Amen. A broken and contrite heart. God's not going to despise it. You know, is there a mistake or poor decision that you keep holding on to? One reason why Paul was able to finish his course was because he let everything go, leaving behind everything that was behind him. He reached forward to the things that were before him. He didn't let his past regrets stop him. Are you letting consequences of your sin, of your decisions, of your poor choices stop you from serving God? You may have wept, you may have gotten your heart right, but now you need to serve. Amen. Get back up and serve. Do you find yourself believing that because you did this or that, because you made that decision, however long ago, God's not going to use you? We serve an unbelievably merciful God. Who puts our sin as far as the east is from the west. He's not going to bring it up. That memory will always be with you. That decision will always be there. But don't let it stop you. Don't let it hinder you from serving God. Don't cling to your mistakes. Don't hold past sins against yourself either. There will always be repercussions. There will always be consequences to our mistakes. But we cannot let any of these things stop us from serving the Lord, reaching for the gold. You have to get back up. You have to get back in the race. Doesn't matter how far you've traveled off the path, you can always get back on. Serve God in the midst of your mistakes. Don't shut out the conviction. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. You can bring it to God and know He will forgive you. He'll pick you back up.
Amen. That's good.
He'll take that burden away. It doesn't matter the choices that were made or the consequences that you may be living under. Set your heart right with God and serve Him. And God will use that mistake, that poor decision, and you'll work it together for your good. We know all things work together for good for to them that love God. All things include your mistakes. All things include your poor decisions. All things include the wrong actions. Everything. He takes the good and the bad and He mixes it all up. And He makes a beautiful piece of art out of it all. If you ever look at a painting, it's not just bright shades, is it? There has to be dark shades. But an artist knows how to take the dark shades and the light shades and put them all together to create a masterpiece. And that's what God is doing in our lives. He's taken our sin, the dark shades of life, our poor decisions, our mistakes, and He knows how to work it together for our good to create a masterpiece in our lives. Again, God is looking for a broken spirit, a spirit that is pliable and moldable, a spirit that can be fashioned into the image of His Son. If there is sin in your life, confess it to the Lord. Let God bring the conviction. Don't kick against the pricks. That's what Saul was doing, and Jesus says, "Saul, Saul, how long are you going to kick against the pricks?" God had been convicting Saul's heart for some time until Saul was brought to a point where he just gave in, and he became Paul. He became the man that we remember him to be. See, we don't when we think of Paul, we don't think of Saul. He's the same man, though. Let God change your life. Let Him change your heart. If there are past mistakes that you're clinging to, let them go, so that you can serve the Lord. Weep, sacrifice, and serve. So we're going to have a time of invitation. Have your head bowed and eyes closed, and use this time to respond as God has spoken to your heart, and whatever it may have been. And maybe God has been dealing with you for quite some time, but you've been kicking against the pricks, and you know it. It may be that you are holding on to a past mistake, something that you regret. It could have been words that were spoken. It could have been actions that you have done. Bring it before the Lord. Weep, sacrifice, but don't forget to continue to serve. Continue to serve the Lord. And if there's anybody in here that doesn't know Christ, it doesn't matter what your sins are. It doesn't matter the background that you come from. He is willing to forgive. He's willing to take your life and change it. Make something beautiful out of it.
Provided in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you'll forgive us. The Bible says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, my Father, that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that you'll receive us and keep us by your power. Thank you for those who came and prayed. I pray you'd encourage their hearts and strengthen them in the Lord. And I pray, my Father, that you might magnify yourself through these teens. And that, Father, you might use them to reach a world for Christ. Father, each teen in this room today has their own circle. There's a little world that they can reach that I can't reach and no one else can reach. And may you give them a burden to reach that world. Those people whom they come in contact with, that they might be a good testimony. And Father, they might have a ready witness and that souls might be saved. Father, help us to do right. Give us your grace, your power, fill us with your Spirit, and enable us to live for you. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like everybody to stand, if you would, please. Just stand for a minute. I was thinking of something I saw one time that really impressed me. I was watching a marathon race. Paul said we're supposed to run for the prize. He said, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And so you might be thinking tonight, well, I can't get the gold. I mean, I'm not going to get the gold. Somebody else is going to get the gold. I saw a marathon. Most of the runners had crossed the line. The guy for the gold, he came and got it, and then the next one and the next one. And all these people had crossed the line. There was this one fella. And the race started in the morning. Now it's nighttime. And here comes this guy. And he's running like this. And he's falling on his face. And he's throwing up. Keep going again. He'd run a little further. Run a little further. He'd fall back down. He would throw up. He would throw up. He would fall. I saw this on television. He's falling like this. And I'm mesmerized. I'm watching this guy. And I see him get up. And he finally stumbled over the finish line. Amen. And I said, Lord, I want to beat that guy.
Amen.
The guy that went across first. Hey, he got the gold, but this man had the character.
Amen.
This man had the grit.
Amen.
This man had the determination. He might not get the gold, but he's going to cross the finish line.
Amen.
And isn't that what Paul said? I finished my course. Listen, folks, go for the gold, but finish the race. Get across the finish line. This guy, maybe he didn't train like he should have. Maybe he didn't hydrate like he should have. Maybe he didn't pace himself like he should have. Maybe he stopped and got a hoagie on the way. I don't know. crossed the finish line.
Amen.
Let's do that. Let's every one of us in this room, young and old, decide in our heart, we're just going to get back up. We're going to get back up. We're going to cross the finish line if we have to crawl over the finish line.
Come on. Amen.
And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to stand right here because I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to ask you if you'll come and stand with me and say, I'll be that guy. I'll be that girl. I'll be that one. If nobody else goes with me, I'm crawling across the line.
Amen.
If I don't get the gold, I'm still going to go across the line.
That's good.
Man, can you imagine what would happen if all these teams in this room actually ran their races with the determination to actually cross the line? You just heard a sermon about it. And that's good. But the Bible says be doers of the word and not hearers only.
Amen.
Receiving who? Not God. Receiving your own self.
Amen.
God brought you a message tonight from a messenger. And he wants you not to just hear it with your ears. He wants you to respond to it with your life.
Yeah.
All these teams, look at this.
Amen. Book.
You see this, Pastor? You know what can happen if these teams will run to the finish line?
Mm-hmm.
And who knows who you're going to meet on your way to the finish. There might be another guy crawling along the road.
Yes.
And then he'll look over and see you crawling along the road. And he says, hey, you know, for sure you're going to heaven.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we love you for loving us. Father, we just love you for being so good to us as unworthy as we are. And Father, we just ask that you'd be with each one of us. We're standing here in this place, and we're not much. But with Jesus, we can do all things. Father, would you help us? We might not get the gold. We might not get the silver. We might not even get the bronze. But all we can just say at the end of it all, I crossed the lines. I finished the race.
Yes.
Father, help each one of these teams to be that person that you will use as they run the race, as they're consistent, as they keep on keeping on, the people they'll meet along that route, that they might lead them to Christ, that they might be a good testimony, and that, Father, you might be glorified, souls might be saved. I pray you fill each one of these teenagers with your Holy Spirit, and let this not be just a one-night thing, but let it be something we take home with us and think about tomorrow and think about next week and think about next month and next year. And maybe when we come back next year, we'll have some testimonies of what you did as we ran for you. Let's run with the one that gets it done.
Amen.
And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. We're going to give away the rest of our prizes here. We only have a few more. So have your seats, and we'll get the, we only have a few more girls that need to get prizes. Do you have anything?
I got one correction to make. Seven girls.